Our lesson tonight is out of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, coming clean with God for ministry blessing. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, 1 to 11, about God's punishment of the sin of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, reveals the great need to clear up sin in our lives to be blessed of the Lord in our ministry efforts. So we view the passage for our insight. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts chapter 5, 1 to 11. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart? You've not lied unto men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up in grave clothes, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what had happened, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, for that much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Then she fell down immediately at his feet and yielded up the Spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. The act of Ananias, on behalf of himself and his wife Sapphira, of giving money from the sale of their land by laying it at the apostles' feet, recalls the action of Barnabas in laying at the apostles' feet the money that he gave from the sale of his land. If we go back to chapter 4 and verses 36 and 37, remember there are no chapter breaks in the New Testament. Those were added by the translators. But I notice in verse 36 of Acts 4, and Joseph, who by the apostles was nicknamed Barnabas, which being interpreted from Aramaic is the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of the Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When people would come and lay something at the apostles' feet without saying anything, and other than that I sold property and here's the proceeds, they were implying that they were giving the totality of that money to the Lord. And that's what's involved here. Now, the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was not withholding part of the proceeds from the sale of their land instead of giving it all. Because Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 4 said that the couple owned the land and could do with it what they wished. And even once they sold it, they could still use the money as they chose to use it. If they wanted to give just a part of that money, then what they should have done is said, this is a part of the money. This is not sold. But they were pretending that they were giving all. And in doing so, they were lying in front of the Holy Spirit. And of course, early church needed to learn the Holy Spirit is God. You don't lie to God. So you don't do that. So the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was not giving only part of what they sold. It was lying and pretending to give all of the proceeds when in reality it was only part of the proceeds of the sale. Now it's interesting here, lying to the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5 verse 3 is lying to God in Acts chapter 5 verse 4. So Acts 5, 3, and 4 reveals that the Holy Spirit is God. When I was in geometry in high school, we learned that if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So in lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God, then the Holy Spirit is God. This is one of the proof texts that the Holy Spirit is God. Co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and with the Son. Now, significantly, Peter said that Satan had filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Pick that up in verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now, Satan doesn't fill somebody's heart to do something unless there's already a problem there. There had already been a problem with Ananias. Ananias had not dealt with some previous sin in his life. I'm actually quoting from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. So we can identify that sin, however, but from viewing the preceding context as follows. We can figure out exactly what's going on. Barnabas's gift involved his giving all of the proceeds of the sale of his land as a very meaningful sacrificial gift. And remember, Barnabas's gift was something that very much encouraged the church because of what was involved. As a Levite, whose income was restricted to living off of tithes instead of having greater opportunity to gain wealth by conducting business like a member of some of the other tribes would be, and we know from Numbers 18, 20, and 24, and Numbers 35, 1 to 8, that the Levites were living off of the tithes, it meant that Barnabas had worked very hard and had saved and invested with skill and discipline, even to buy property, to own property on Cyprus outside of Israel that would have been given to him as a Levite was an amazing thing. So for him, of all people, then to sell that hard-earned land and lay its entire proceeds at the apostles' feet would have caused everyone in the early church to be greatly encouraged. Ananias and Sapphira noticed the great effect that Barnabas' sacrificial gift had made on other people, but instead of being encouraged by it, they lusted after what they thought was the fame of Barnabas' act. So they tried to copy Barnabas' act to get some fame and pride while also keeping some of the proceeds of the sale. They thought, let's have the best of both worlds. We want to keep some of this money, and yet we want to have this fame like Barnabas did. That's the problem. Accordingly, Satan worked on the worldly lust of the pride of life in Ananias and Sapphira, filling their heart to lie to the Holy Spirit to fulfill the lust of worldly pride. Now we know in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, that the world is made up of three lusts, of the loving the world. Lust of the flesh, that's of the body. Lust of the eyes, that's what appeals aesthetically. And then lust of the pride of this life. The word life there is the word bios. We get the word biology from it. It's the pride of this earthly life, not of the eternal life that is to come. So they had pride, and they wanted the fame. So when people saw them lay this money at the feet of the apostles, they would say, "Oh, what an encouragement you are, brother!" You know, and that would build them up and make them feel real good. Only problem is it was a lie. Now, God could not allow believers in the early church to think lightly of the Holy Spirit, so he led Peter to administer severe capital punishment on Ananias and Sapphira. Once Peter informed Ananias that in lying to the Holy Spirit, he'd lied to God, the Lord struck Ananias so that he fell down and died, causing great fear to come upon all that heard about this. This was quick, it was sudden, it was severe. But you'll notice every time a dispensation starts in the program of God, there is often a severe judgment to occur in order for God to set the record straight so that people throughout that era of the dispensation know exactly what's going on and what is expected of them. So the young men arose, they wound Ananias' body in grave wrappings. This was very typical of the Jewish wrappings. They would wrap the body like a cocoon, starting at the feet and coming up to the shoulders. Then they would leave the neck bare, and then they would do a covering for the head and wrap it. And they would embalm with aloes, which is like a fragrant sawdust, and then myrrh, which is very sticky. And it would be like a cocoon that the person would be in. And that's how they buried him. They buried him typically like the Jews would be buried. Now, about 3 hours later, Sapphira came to visit Peter, being unaware of what had happened to her husband. And Peter asked her whether she had sold the land for a certain price. And of course, he named the price that Ananias had lied about. And she lied along with her husband, admitting to the amount he had pretended to have received from the property sale. So Peter announced that the feet of the young men who had buried her husband were at the door, and that they would carry her out dead as well. It's interesting that the discipline of the Lord is very impartial. Whether you're a man or a woman makes no difference. Whether it's of one particular race or another particular race is no difference. A person is a person, and every person is accountable to God. Sapphira, like her husband before her, suddenly fell down at Peter's feet and died. And the young men came in, they found her dead, they carried her out, and they buried her by her husband. Of course, these events powerfully influenced the early church to revere the Lord and to avoid sin. Big, big lesson here in failing to clear up their sin of the lust of worldly pride. Satan led Ananias and Sapphira to seek fame by pretending to do what they saw Barnabas do, further sinning by lying to God the Holy Spirit in the process, and God severely punished this sin by death to teach the early church that you do not lie to the Holy Spirit because he's God. So sometimes that's, you know, it's a tough lesson, but it's a very important lesson. So an application for ministry effectiveness, may we clear up any sin we might have, lest Satan use it to shipwreck us. See, if we allow some sin that we have in our hearts and our lives to continue to go on, it's going to be easy to add to that another sin, and it could be a much more serious sin that is involved. So it's extremely important that we clear up. If we are aware of something that is wrong in our lives, God wants us to address it right away. Clear it up. Make it clean. This is one reason why we often talk about confession of sin before the Lord. It's not because we're trying to make people feel guilty, but if we know that we have sinned, if we know that we violated Scripture, it's extremely important to get it cleared up, because that's the best way to avoid discipline from the Lord, and it's the best way to assure that God will bless us, because the goal is to be blessed. And God can bless his people only when they're right with the Lord, and not when they're harboring sin in their hearts and in their lives. So may the Lord equip us. If we see some other believer getting praise or is being very, very effectively, influentially used by the Lord to impress other people, what we should do is not try to compare ourselves with that believer or try to copy that believer. That's a mistake. Paul, in one of his epistles, said, we do not compare ourselves with others. That's what carnal people do. We all have different spiritual gifts. We all have different assignments. We cannot compare ourselves with anybody else, man or woman, okay? All we can do is look at what God has assigned us to do and stick with the job that God has assigned us to do. If we do the job God wants us to do, then God will use us very effectively to make a tremendous impact for the people of God and impact for the Lord. And that's all that counts. When we stand before him, it's very interesting. Jesus uses a parable about several of his servants. One servant he gives two talents to, and he expects that servant to produce only two more talents. So he's supposed to come back. If he produces four talents, the Lord says, you've done well. If he gives a servant five talents, he expects him to come back with 10 talents. See? Because he's got five, he can double that. The guy with only two talents is supposed to double that. And, of course, the one with the one talent didn't double. He just went and hit it. He was afraid. And, of course, the Lord disciplined him. But so we're going to answer someday to the Lord for what he has invested in us. That's it. He's not comparing us with someone else. He's comparing us with what he's assigned us to do. And he's going to be judging us against what we could have done or should be able to do based upon what he's invested in us. So we should never compare ourselves to someone else. That was a big mistake on the part of Ananias and Sapphira. We can't do that. And it's not fair to ourselves, and it's not fair to other people for us to compare ourselves with other people. We have to look at what God has given us and be content with the assignment that he's given us, and then we'll be blessed.